British Sky Broadcasting presents Bottle Rocket, starring Luke Wilson as Anthony, Owen Wilson as Dignan, James Caan as Mr. Henry, and Robert Musgrave as Bob. The film's written by Wes Anderson and Owen Wilson, and directed by Wes Anderson. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. Wearing a plain white T-shirt, a young man in his late 20s opens a window. He has chiselled features and brown hair almost down to his shoulder. Another man in his late 20s with short blonde hair is crouched behind a bush in the grounds of the building. He's holding up a mirror, bouncing the sunlight off it to attract the attention of the young man at the window. The blonde-haired guy looks round furtively. The dark-haired man smiles to himself and strolls across his room to a coat stand, from which he takes a red sweatshirt and puts it on. He tosses a bag onto his bed and picks up a pile of bed sheets. He ties one end of the sheets onto the bed's footboard and hurls the rest, knotted together, out of the window. He takes a couple of deep breaths and looks down at a plastic wristband which says Adams, Anthony, patient. He looks towards the door of his room. A man in his 40s with a beige jacket and striped ties at the door.
Hey, Dr. Nichols, I was just coming down to say goodbye.
Anthony, came to help you with your bags.
No, that's okay. I can take them down myself. I got them.
What's this?
What's going on?
He looks at the rope of sheets.
Well, see, my friend Dignan didn't realize that this was a voluntary hospital, and he got this whole escape thing worked out, and he just got so excited about the thing. I didn't have the heart to tell him,
The doctor picks up the sheet off the window ledge and sighs.
I mean, look how excited he is.
Dignan is still behind the bush and flashing his mirror.
I gotta do it this way, Dr. Nichols. I gotta climb out. It's only one floor down. Okay. But can you do it fast? You know, this doesn't look good. None of this looks good at all. Well, thanks very much, Dr. Nichols. You've really been a great help. You've been a great doctor. No, thank you. Can you hand me my bag, please?
The young man hurls his bag out of the window.
See ya.
Anthony jumps out onto the grass. He passes a girl sitting on the lawn.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for asking. Bye. Take care.
Bye, Barbara.
See you, Curtis.
Thanks, Anthony.
Come on. Any problems?
Yes, yes.
Wait. Who'd you get to do that? Did you bribe the janitor?
Smart.
Dignan waves up at the window. The doctor, reeling in the knotted bedclothes, waves back at him. Dusk. The two young men are sitting in a coach.
Driver, what's our ATA?
7:30.
Good. We're on schedule. Here's our agenda for the next few months. I believe you will find everything is in order.
Practice job.
Our first move when we get back. Look it over, and I will brief you on the way.
Okay.
Now, this is just a rough sketch of what I was trying to do. The idea of practice job, heist, and the idea that you and I both respond to goals, and it all leads to Mr. Henry.
Oh, the guy from the letters.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Now, this is rough. What I try to do is I think you and
second
I both
five.
Respond to structure, and that's what's important for
you
us.
You really got a well-planned
out. Well, next 50.
Yeah. So, did you enjoy your first visit to the nut house?
Hey, like that? Come on. Be sensitive to the fact that other people are not comfortable talking about emotional disturbances. You know, I am. I'm fine with that, but other people.
Okay.
On. Put it behind you. You're out. You're better. And so it begins.
They walk down an alley.
Okay, now we should also get on a fitness regime. Sit-ups, road works, hitting the bags.
Yeah, I was running 10 miles a day when I was out in the desert.
Were you really?
Yeah, and I didn't want to
That's
get
exactly
cooler,
what I'm
go
talking
out.
About. That's good cardiovascular.
When did you get so avid about the fitness thing, Dignan?
What? What do you mean by avid?
I'm just saying I've never known you to be all that athletic, and all of a sudden
you've never known me to be all that athletic. What? I mean, does it sound weird?
I'm not saying you're not a good athlete.
Well, does it sound weird to be talking about all the exercise?
No, it doesn't sound weird.
I'm not saying that it's the top priority, but I think it's a pretty good goal.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a really good goal.
Here, put these on.
Anthony puts on black leather gloves. Dignan scales a steel fence outside a large family home. The two young men enter the house through the front door. Dignan strides purposefully into a sitting room. He pulls out a desk drawer and removes a fold-out book of antique coins. Anthony rushes into a bedroom area. Dignan takes a paperweight from off a bookcase and puts it into his little hold-all. At a dressing table, Dignan opens a wooden jewelry box and takes out a couple of earrings. Anthony moves around the bedroom and takes other items. Then he crouches down and considers an array of toy soldiers on the window ledge. He straightens one slightly. The two young men rush out of the house. Then they're sitting at a table in a drugstore cafe.
Obviously good quickness.
Yeah, in and out pretty fast.
Real fast, man, and good intensity.
High intensity.
Great intensity, because I was like, really fast.
And the preparation was good, you know? I think that's your specialty.
Thank you, because if I said that one, it would sound like bragging. That's what I didn't want to say. Okay, criticisms.
Criticisms.
I have only one. Not very thorough. Left a lot of valuables behind.
Yeah, I don't think that was a mistake.
No, that was one of the limitations of this job, yeah. But, by the way, great job in there. It was nice working with you, because it was like...
Thank you.
They're at a pinball machine.
Next order of business, Mr. Henry. I know you've probably been wondering, when am I going to introduce you to Mr. Henry after all I've told you about him? Well, in answer to that question, very soon. In fact, judging from how well that... Here you go, you got to do that up. There you go. And judging from how well that job went today, which was pretty good, man, including the coin collection and the earrings, was, to say the least...
Dignan looks sheepish.
You took the earrings, Dignan? You took them?
Anthony leaves the store.
No, it's my fault. Ultimately, Anthony, when are you
going to
learn?
Man, you got another ball. Should I play your game?
The list, Dignan. I know you remember the list because you signed it. You signed it things Dignan's not supposed to touch.
The thing is, I can't be sorting through all that shit in the middle of a burglary.
Hey, I don't care, okay? I bought the earrings for my mother on her birthday. I went down, I picked them out myself.
Okay, one thing is, every valuable item in the house was on that list.
Hey, maybe we should have robbed your house. You ever think of that? No, I bet that never crossed your mind.
Dignan looks sulky.
What? What? Come on, Dignan.
You know there's nothing to steal from my mom and Craig.
A children's school, home time. Anthony is moving through a crowd of kids waiting on the pavement wearing green uniforms.
Hey, Grace!
A young girl with long hair is standing next to her friend who's sitting on a bench.
You don't say hi anymore? Come on.
Are you the pilot?
No, I'm Anthony. I'm Grace's brother.
Will you excuse us for a minute, Bernice?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Bernice leaves, and Anthony sits on the bench.
You told your friend Bernice I'm some kind of jet pilot?
What was I supposed to say? They stuck you in an insane asylum?
It wasn't an insane asylum, Grace. I explained to you back then that it was for exhaustion.
Exhaustion?
Yes, exhaustion.
You haven't worked a day in your life. How could you be exhausted?
Okay, sit down, okay? I didn't come up here today to argue with you, okay? I've got some friends waiting for me, and I've got some things that I need to... Some associates, that's...
Dignan?
Yeah, Dignan, and also... What's wrong with Dignan, Grace? I thought you liked Dignan.
I do like Dignan.
Then why do you sigh when I mention his name?
But now? He's a liar.
Bob Mapplethorpe, potential getaway driver. Go. Go.
Well, I think there's a real air of mystery about
me. Don't complicate it. Your number one strength is you have a car you can provide. Sell yourself. Start over. You ready? Go.
Okay. All right. I'm a risk taker. I'm growing an entire crop of marijuana plants in my parents' backyard. I think that shows
a
little...
Wait a second. You're growing an entire crop of marijuana in your backyard?
Dignan, look, I'm just not that good at this selling yourself stuff, okay? So I'm just going to tell you the truth. I really want to be a part of this team. And I'm the only one with a car.
Bob's got slick back hair and a hangdog look.
That's good. Because that hits me right here.
Okay, can you do me a favor? I want you to take these earrings. Put them in Mom's mahogany box. Now, put them in your backpack or something so don't lose them here. Could you just put them in the box, please, Grace? You've really gotten into the bad habit of asking a huge amount of questions lately.
He folds his arms and sighs.
I gotta go, okay, pal?
What's gonna happen to you, Anthony?
Jeez, Grace, what the hell kind of question is that to ask me?
When are you coming home?
Anthony appears weary.
I can't come home. I'm an adult. Why are you looking at me like that? Huh?
Little kid, I want to know what caused thunder. How'd it go with Grace? How'd it go?
Don't leave, please, Bob.
Little kids are really cute. She is a cute little kid.
How it happened, I just have no idea. I mean, how did Grace get so cynical?
Look, I can't answer that question right now. All I'm concerned about is getting you back in the car, man. Let's get back in the car where you can settle down.
She thinks I'm a failure.
What? She said you were a failure?
Mad about me at this point.
What has she ever accomplished with her life that's so great, man? Nothing. Nothing. Wait, you don't have to do anything,
man. I'm not saying that she has to look up to me at all. I'm not saying that.
Don't worry about it.
Maybe she should. Why not?
Stop.
She's
stop for a second. Will you stop for a second and look at this?
Oh, no.
I learned more in the 2 months I spent with Mr. Henry and his crew than I learned in 15 years of academic study. Fact, I can guarantee you, after Mr. Henry sees us pull this job, he's going to take a personal interest in our future. Fact, Mr. Henry drives a
Jaguar.
Fact,
Dignam, the picture's not doing it for me right now. Just,
well, is the fact that I'm trying to do it for you?
I hate to interrupt your conversation, guys.
But I think I know what you've been going through, man. Because I've been through some pretty heavy shit myself. If you're feeling alone, like nobody in the world cares, and nobody in the fucking world gives a shit, then I'm here.
Oh, that was a stop.
I'm ready to listen, man. And if you want, I'll even open up first. I mean, my brother, that's a shit situation, you know? He beats the crap out of me all the time.
Anthony and Dignan are eating sandwiches on the patio of a suburban house. A guy in a brown shirt approaches.
I don't suppose either one of you know why Bob's car's parked out in front.
Yeah, he's here.
He's
here at the house.
I'm gonna see if Bob's keeping the pool clean.
That's Future Man.
Yeah, I know.
Future Man takes a leaf out of the swimming pool.
What the fuck is this?
Bob knows, Clay.
Bob, you were told to thoroughly clean the pool this morning.
It's a leaf.
Jack, there was one leaf. Man, one leaf.
Your name's Anthony, isn't it?
Yeah, what about the car?
Yeah, his name's Anthony. My name's Dignan.
I'm Stacy Sinclair, Elizabeth's sorority sister.
I didn't know she had a sister.
Oh, my God, you have the best sense of humor. She is going to be so jealous I saw you here. So, you go to school in Arizona, right?
No, I was in the hospital.
Oh, what for?
Anthony chews a nut.
I went nuts.
He's kidding. He didn't go nuts.
Thing. How did it happen?
Do you really want to know?
Yes, I really do.
One morning, over at Elizabeth's beach house, she asked me if I'd rather go water skiing or lay out. And I realized that not only did I not want to answer that question, but I never wanted to answer another water sports question or see any of these people again for the rest of my life. 3 days later, I was on my way out to the desert, and that was that.
Stacy bites her lip. Inside the house...
Bully and son of a bitch! You're calling me a bully?! Here's a bully for you! Ow! Hold on, Bob. You're only going to make this take longer.
You're really complicated, aren't you?
My ear!
I try not to be.
Anthony, Dignan, Bob, and a portly middle-aged guy in a baseball cap get out of a saloon car which has pulled up in the middle of some farmland. At the back of the car, they peer down at a collection of handguns in the boot. The three young men are now leaning on the bonnet of the car, sketching targets on pieces of paper. Each wearing plastic earmuffs, they're standing in a line in the field, firing their guns towards their targets. Dignan's firing a Magnum-style revolver. He turns and nods. Bob pays the gun dealer, while Dignan twirls his arms round, pretending to shoot. Then he, Bob, and Anthony are sitting at a dining table at Bob's house, looking down at a map. Bob's distracted by the gun.
Okay, escape route is crucial, just in case somebody is tailing us or even chasing us, as the case may be. We can't be sure how it is going to happen.
Do you think we're going to be chased tonight? Is that a possibility?
That's a good question. No, I don't think we're going to be chased. I'm just being hypocritical here. However, I will say, Bob, please don't interrupt me, man, because I'm trying to stay focused on this stuff. You're responsible for the external situation tomorrow, streets and the getaway.
Whoa. Excuse me. Are the explosives really necessary here? I think it'd be a lot more simple if I just walk up to the door alone. I think that would be...
Why are you undermining me, man? How much bullets does this thing take?
Bob,
look,
please,
I'm paying attention.
God damn it! You're not paying attention if you're messing around with the gun. Now, quit...
Anthony, just
keep the gun on the table. Keep
Dignan,
relax.
I can't focus unless the gun is on the table.
You just paid for it.
Shut up, man. Shut up. I'm warning you now. Be quiet, please.
It's true, Dignan. I paid for the gun.
Say it again. Say it one more time. Say it again. Repeat what you just said.
Bob looks at Anthony, who shakes his head at him.
I paid for the gun.
Dignan touches his eyebrow wearily.
He's out. You're out, too. And I don't
calm
think I'm
down,
in
okay,
either.
Calm
no
down.
Gang.
You two just don't give a shit. Come right down. Don't care. Look at this kitchen. How does an asshole like Bob get such a great kitchen?
Come on.
Anthony guides a reluctant-looking Dignan back into the room. Dignan sits back in his chair and stares at the table.
I apologize. That was poor leadership. I'm under a lot of pressure right now, and I don't feel like that the team is gelling the way... If I can even use that word, because I don't even know if we are a team.
Hey, we are a team.
Dignan ponders this. Bob nods.
Yeah. Team.
Dignan smiles and scribbles more notes.
Okay. There... Do you see the star is me? Mm-hmm. Right there, and I'll be in there. The X is Anthony. Bob, you're the zero out here in the car.
Nighttime. Bob's car is parked outside an out-of-town bookstore.
Okay.
Dignan puts tape across the bridge of his nose.
What are you putting that tape on your nose for?
Exactly.
On the back seat, Anthony puts tape across his nose. Dignan checks his watch. It's 12:03.
Let's get lucky.
Anthony and Dignan stride from the car. Wearing a black knitted hat and zip-up sweatshirt, Anthony approaches the door.
Okay, we're right here.
Come on, let's go.
Come on, you're ready. Don't panic.
Okay, get him open the door. Don't panic.
I left my sweater inside. I know. Do you have a lost and found?
Here he comes. Ca-caw,
lost
ca-caw.
And found.
Ca-caw. Bob. Sorry, we're close here.
Yeah, the apple lost and found. I left my sweater back.
You got something on you. What's that on your nose?
I cut it. I got to cut across the bridge. Do you have a lost and found?
Can you come back tomorrow?
I can't. I gotta get it tonight.
Let me check with my manager. Okay. Hold on one second. Okay. Just stand inside. Okay.
Dignan barges in.
Excuse me, sir. We're closed.
Oh, what about that guy?
I left my sweater.
You forgot his sweater.
Oh, yeah, I left some money in there.
Some money where?
In the cash register. Step away from the door. Stockard! Where are the other Stockards?
Ooh, Rob,
Rob, where is
he? He might be in literature. That's his section.
Hey, is that the manager?
Wait, who is it?
Come here. Come here.
Anthony hurries down one of the aisles. He picks up a book entitled Job Opportunities in Government 1995. In the manager's office...
Okay, sit down. Get up against the wall, Stretch. What's in here? Where's the money? Talk, Stretch!
It's in the drawer.
Okay, there it is. Come on, open up that drawer. No, it's not. Come on, the other one. Let's go.
Where's the money?
Okay. Put one of those bags. Get one of those bags. Let's move! Come on! A bigger one, you idiot! What do you
Don't
think?
Don't call me an idiot, you punk.
Dignan appears a little dumbfounded.
Do you have bigger bags for atlases or dictionaries, sir?
Anthony looks down at a geeky young man with a ponytail kneeling beside a bookcase.
Robbie?
Uh-huh.
Aren't you supposed to be in literature?
It's all full up.
Okay, they need you in the office right now.
Use the little bags and put the money in there. We'll just use a lot of them. Quickly. Just do your best.
Why do you wear that tape on your nose?
Outside the office.
Here you go, little bags, man.
Okay, everybody, just sit tight. Okay, thank you so much.
Anthony and Dignan run from the store towards the getaway car.
Success! Full success! Okay, we're heading back to Bob's, so we're gonna hit the road and go on the land. Go!
In Bob's front room...
Okay, now before we divide the loot, let me say one thing. Bob gets the Spirit Award on this case.
Hey.
And although his share won't be as equal as ours, his contribution
what?
Was never like... Come here, Bob. Come here. Did you see the look he gave me? Don't double-cross this guy. Don't even think it. Great work. Both of you.
Clink.
Thank you.
So, Dignan, what's next? Do we meet the crew after we go on the lam or what?
Everybody wants to know what's next. May I enjoy this moment?
What crew?
Now's not a good time to bring up the crew. God damn it.
You son of a bitch! You're gonna cut me out!
Wait a second, Bob.
You're gonna cut me out, aren't you?
Nobody's cutting anybody out of anything. Okay, let me show you this.
Whoa.
No, Dignan, this is fine. Bob should see this. Bob, I got something.
What's this supposed to be?
That's the crew. That's Mr. Henry. These are the... I know.
Anthony, that's the Lawn Wranglers. The landscape company that Dignan here used to work for.
What do you mean landscaping?
I mean... Push the mower, trim the hedge, landscape.
Dignan gives him a half-hearted grin.
Landscaping?
Landscaping.
Oh.
Yes, they're landscapers, okay? Yes, 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 they're landscapers. But did it ever occur to you that a landscaping crew is a perfect front for an operation, man? Now look at this. You've seen this picture. That is Mr. Henry. And aside from owning the Lawn Wranglers, he is a very talented thief.
Then why aren't you over there right now?
Because we're fugitives.
Dignan looks away and thinks.
And also because he fired me.
Anthony turns to Dignan, who looks down at the crumpled photo.
Best job I ever had. Working my way up, meeting people, listening to stories. One day he walks home and he says, Dignan, you're out. Just like that. By the way, man, he was right. It's just because it's a front doesn't mean somebody didn't have to do the actual landscaping. But those days are over now. It's just a matter of time before I pick up the phone and I say, Mr. H, we are coming home. So don't worry about your future, man, because I am thinking.
Anthony turns away.
Anthony. If you don't mind, I'd appreciate it if you didn't mention to Bob about me getting fired.
Anthony moves towards the car. Dignan takes a few steps away, puts on a pair of shades, and shakes his head slightly.
On the run from Johnny Law. It ain't no trip to Cleveland.
Bob's old blue Mercedes heads along a straight road. Then it's parked in front of a roadside stall, the sign above which says U.S. Fireworks of America. Led by Dignan, the group wander along the front of the stall pointing at the pyrotechnics. The guy behind the counter starts to pick the fireworks off the shelf, firecrackers, Roman candles and bottle rockets. Then the car moves off and Dignan's leaning out of the passenger window firing off his new purchases. Nighttime.
Did you hear that?
Dignan, I don't expect you to be as depressed as I am, but I don't think... Watch the road, Bob. But I don't think that your happiness is quite appropriate. I mean, your 75-year plan does not seem to be working, you know? The only thing I've learned so far is that crime does not pay.
I agree. Gee, man, that's not the greatest attitude in the world to have. I don't think we get anywhere by complaining, guys.
Okay, okay. Yeah, you're right.
There we go. There we go. Perfect. Great little place to lie low. The heat cools down, and we'll get in touch with Mr. Henry. I'm going to get the best room in the house, guys. Crime does pay.
The next morning, Dignan and Bob are asleep in single beds in a cramped little motel room. The modest building consists of two stories of apartments. There's a small swimming pool at the rear, which Anthony in trunks is trotting round. The young man tosses his towel onto a sun lounger and dives into the water. He surfaces, and resting his forearms on the poolside, he starts to observe one of the maids, a dark-haired young woman wearing a simple white summer dress. She's standing by her cleaning cart, pressing buttons on her mobile phone. Anthony continues to watch her as she pushes her cart to the door of one of the rooms. She takes keys out of the pocket of her dress and opens the door. Anthony's transfixed. The maid starts to tie her long hair into a ponytail. Her brown sandals are perched on the cart, along with a little portable radio. She turns round and spots Anthony gazing at her. He gives her a slightly nervous little wave. Her expression softens a little, and she moves into the room. Later, Anthony's reclining on a lounger in a striped dressing gown at the side of the pool.
I can't get my hair cut. That's just not possible, all right?
Then you're gonna have to dye it red, man, because we need to hide our identities.
No, I'm sorry. I can't do that either.
Even if it's the difference between some trooper recognizing us and throwing us in jail or not?
I guess so.
Then you, my dear friend, are a damn fool. Let's go, Bob. Come on. Bob, let's go.
See you later, Bob.
A damn fool.
Anthony's lying on his bed in the room. The maid wheels her cart up to the room's front door.
Hello.
Excuse me?
No, no, it's okay. Come on in. Yeah.
He's standing in the doorway.
Oh, excuse me.
She wedges the door open and opens the net curtains.
Jeez, it's great how you're able to bring a room to life like this.
The maid moves past him carrying fresh towels. Anthony wanders back into the room.
Jeez, it's nice out today, isn't it?
Boy, you get a nice breeze with that door open like it is. It was kind of stuffy in here. Do you do all of these rooms yourself? All of these up in...
I'm Anthony. Anthony.
He holds out his hand. The maid shakes it courteously and moves to the door.
What's your name?
Ines.
Ines.
She gets more fresh towels from the cart and steps back into the room.
Oh, sorry.
She starts to make the beds.
Sorry, this is such a mess here. Here, let me give you a hand with this.
Then he steps out of the room onto the balcony and ties up the belt on his stripy dressing gown. Ines gives him a little nod and pushes her cart to the next apartment.
I think I might have seen you earlier when I was swimming. Did you happen to see me down there? By the pool? Yeah, that was me. Yeah?
She smiles awkwardly.
You speak English? Spanish? You have really good posture, you know. You stand up very straight. You know, people, they think because they're in a hotel that they can really just kind of act like slobs. It's bad manners, if you ask me, if I were guilty of it, yeah. Which part of Mexico are you from?
Paraguay.
Paraguay. Boy, okay, that's kind of over...
Excuse me, Anthony.
Guatemala, I think. Sorry, Ness.
Then he's helping her push the cart.
These towels are still warm. I guess that's from the dryer.
He holds the folded towel up against the maid's cheek.
Housekeeping? Sorry.
No, we just checked here.
Ines raises her hand to Anthony, indicating him to wait outside, and heads into the bathroom. Anthony strolls nonchalantly into the bedroom past the confused-looking middle-aged guests. He starts to plump up a pillow.
Hi. Hi.
In the barber's shop...
That's a good hair. That's a good haircut there. Part on the side. That's what my friend needs to get. Bob, get one like this.
Bob strides into the salon.
Here, you go first.
Dina, may I speak to you for a moment, please? It's about my marijuana crop. I don't want everyone to hear this.
I don't want to lose my place anymore.
My brother is in jail.
What? The week.
The week for my back. For my backyard.
Dignan mouths man and thinks for a moment.
I got him by the balls. What's the official charge? They say he's a drug dealer.
So unfair. They say he's a drug dealer. You and I both know he's not a drug dealer.
I know that. I know.
Well,
Bob, what about hiding our identities? Bob, I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to take a rain check. Bob!
Anthony's sitting next to Ines by a tumble dryer.
God, this is great. Sitting here in the laundry room, you're working on your vocabulary, and we're sharing these tamales. It's just how unexpected.
She's playing with a little locket.
What is that? Is that open? Is that open?
A tiny photo drops out of it, which Anthony picks up.
Wow, you were just a little girl when this was taken. A little girl in Paraguay. Can I keep this? May I have it?
Ines looks a little confused.
She's my sister.
Really? She looks just like you.
He's holding the tiny portrait up beside Ines's face.
Can I keep it anyway?
He gestures, putting it into his shirt pocket. She nods at him. Anthony gazes at the little photo. Ines watches him with a thoughtful smile. Nighttime. Dignan and Bob enter their room. Ines and other staff are sitting on a bed, putting on party hats.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're in the wrong room. Okay, I guess there's been a mistake made. 212. Do you speak English? We have French.
There's an awkward moment. Everyone looks a little unsure. Anthony appears out of the bathroom carrying the jug from a blender. Dignan just looks at him with mild disbelief.
Oh, you guys want to get your hair cut?
No, we didn't.
Well,
Gang, this is my friend.
My name is Jerry, and this is my associate Cornelius. Anthony, what's going on here, man?
I'm having a party in here, man. I made some piano batteries for these folks.
Yeah, I guess I'll
have
one.
Come on in here, man.
Come on.
This is a mess.
Come on,
Bob. Shut the door. Get in here, man. Anybody else want to? Soda for Rocky. Come on, Bob. Let me get you.
Anthony, I've got to talk to you. Look, I'm sorry about this. This seems like a nice soiree, but I've got a family situation. I don't care what you think. I don't care.
Tengo una situación mi familia. Dignan does not want to deal with it. Could you please come outside for a minute?
Bob, I'm just saying we've got to analyze the situation, okay? First of all, how long are they going to hold?
I don't know. I don't know anything. All I know is that Phil says they got him, that he's in jail.
Okay, what I've been made a suggestion is that he needs to hire an attorney.
You were pushing your luck, man.
Dignan
does have a point. So what, you think I should just abandon my brother?
Yeah. No, Bob, I'm saying. let's keep it very simple, okay? We'll make some calls, figure out what's going on, and if he's not out in 48 hours, then we'll go back, okay? Bob?
What?
Is that okay?
Okay.
And okay. I wasn't trying to antagonize you, man, by saying that stuff.
It was just that you were going to fly off half-cocked.
Don't tell me what I was going to fly off.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's a team decision.
The motel swimming pool later on. Inez swims to the edge of the pool and waits under a springboard overhanging the water as Anthony surfaces in front of her.
Ay, qué rico está aquí. Está tibio.
What?
Tibio?
Oh, just... What's that?
No sé cómo decirte.
Huh?
I don't know
what I'm talking
about. No.
Anthony carefully touches her neck and strokes her cheek with his thumb.
It's kind of like silk.
I like silk. What's
skin,
silk?
It feels so soft and silk. It's soft.
Silk.
Silk.
Sandpaper.
Silk.
Silk.
It's very soft. I don't know if it's Spanish. Can I kiss you?
Their faces come together and they share several passionate, tender kisses.
Duty. Swim at your own risk.
Okay, we'll be very careful, Jerry. Thank you.
You guys mind if I take a dip? Hey, I'm kidding. I'm not that insensitive. Besides, I didn't bring my trunks anyway. How's the water down there?
I'm gonna give you something, okay? I want you to hold on to this.
Well, thank you for listening to our old war stories. I hope they didn't bore you too terribly.
Dignan?
Anthony nods pointedly.
Well, anyway, good evening.
Bye, Jerry.
Anyways, the watch, okay? It has an alarm on it, and it will go off and make a sound when we're supposed to meet. And you do that by this little button right here, so you can just press that, see? Okay? It's pretty simple.
She gazes at him as he moves a length of her hair away from her face.
Bueno. I have to go.
I'm very glad I met you, Nance.
Me too. I have to go.
Next morning, Bob very carefully takes his car keys off a cluttered table. Then Dignan, in a white T-shirt and chinos, is running up to the motel balcony.
No. Son of a bitch! Anthony! Bob's gone! He stole his car! Little coward, that son of a bitch!
He rushes down an exterior staircase. Anthony follows him, doing up his short-sleeved shirt.
He flew the coop while we were sleeping. He has no character, man.
He went up to the store.
No, man, he took his stuff. He's long gone.
Hi, housekeeping? Can I speak to Inez, please? I thought she gets in at 9. Oh, it is. Okay, see, I don't have my watch on. She has it. Tell me something. What's it like working with her? I mean, I bet she's really great. Okay, bye.
We'll get him. We'll get him, man. Don't worry about that. We'll get him. And when we do get him, we'll blow up his car or do something. I can guarantee you that. What makes me furious is thinking about the look on Bob's fat face, man, when he drives away today. Thinking that he's pulled one over on us, man. I'll tell you another thing. Dignan, that if our paths cross again, you're going to see a side of Dignan that you haven't seen before. A sick, sadistic side, because I'm furious at Bob. I couldn't be more angry. Come on, what?
Bob didn't steal the car. You know, he told me he was leaving. He went back to help his brother.
Then they're sitting in a diner having breakfast. Dignan exhales forcefully.
Dignan, look, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you about Bob leaving. You had just as much a right to know as I did. I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's all I need. I mean, who's to say that you need Bob to have an adventure? Where's that rule written? There's nothing that says that. What are you working on?
No, it's just a sketch.
It's a drawing of a woman on a horse titled Inez.
It's just a little horse. Little sparks coming off, kind of stardust. Nothing.
Dignan looks distracted.
Sorry,
don't apologize to me. Don't do that to me. Don't treat me like the jealous friend who's envious of you, because that's not what this is about. I am as excited for you as anybody is.
Really? Then I gotta go. I'll see you later, Dignan. See you back at the room.
Dignan frowns to himself as his friend sprints past the front of the diner. Anthony is then running alongside the motel building. He rushes down a corridor and peers over a balcony down at the pool. He runs along the balcony and approaches a cleaning cart outside one of the rooms. He enters the room and stands in the doorway. Inez comes out of the bathroom and stops. Anthony shuts the front door of the apartment and draws the net curtains. Inez stands there watching him. Anthony approaches her and kisses her. He sits on one of the beds and starts to undo the buttons on her little white dress. She touches his face and unzips his sweatshirt. Inez moves over to the door and puts the little chain on it. She rushes back to him and they kiss and fall onto the bed in an embrace. Anthony then struggles to pull his sweatshirt over his head. Inez helps him. As he lies back down, she pulls the bedsheet over the top of them and they embrace again. Later, fully dressed, they're sitting on plastic chairs on the balcony, Dignan setting off fireworks in the field in front of them.
It's so weird getting this hat. Just so good to be with you.
He leans over and kisses her neck. Then the couple are strolling across the field towards Dignan, who, with the expression of a sulky teenager, is holding a Roman candle and firing it towards the ground. Anthony and Inez, hand in hand, stop and watch Dignan, who glances at them, then lights a firecracker, which he tosses onto the grass.
Why don't you come over to this bar we're going to, Dignan?
Where?
It's in the town.
No, I don't want to go.
Why don't you just come with us?
Dignan sighs and looks around. He lights a sparkler.
Why don't you just come over there with us?
All right.
Dignan approaches Inez and gives the sparkler to her. They head back towards the motel.
Sparkler.
Certainly can't feel any worse than I do.
Don't worry, all he needs is one drink.
A Mexican man enters the bar's toilets.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, hola, amigo. ¿Cómo está?
You in the army, yes?
No, I just had short hair.
Anthony and Inez are sitting on a bench outside the bar. A young man spots them.
Yes! ¡Qué milagro!
Julio.
¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo te ha ido?
Bien.
Bien, qué bien. No te imaginas lo que me acaba de pasar ahora.
¿Qué?
No, llegó un ricachón ahí del taller que se le cayeron las llaves en el tanque de gas. Imagínate.
¿Ah, sí?
¡Oh, qué tarado! No, sí. Bueno, ahí nos vemos. ¿Eh?
Bueno.
Vete.
Que te vaya bien.
Boy, that guy was a real chatterbox, wasn't he? I didn't think he was ever going to stop with this story. Jesus. That's what I call a language barrier, man. I need to...
You just cheated! Okay. I'm calling my
gang! It's just going to get a little frustrating sometimes. God, you know, I can't believe the guy just decided to jump you like that.
Can you pass me those French fries, please?
Yeah. Dignan, you know, I was right out in front of the place with Inez.
If you don't mind, I'd rather not relive it. Don't really feel much like talking about it. In fact, the only thing I feel like is getting the fuck out of this town.
Yeah. We, need a car, I think.
I have an idea for that. Inez has a master key to all the rooms, doesn't she? Doesn't she?
Yeah, I don't think we can do that.
I know we can. It's real simple. We go into another room.
Dignan, I'm sorry, but it's not even a possibility, okay?
Perched on the edge of the bed that Dignan's lying on, Anthony looks up and sighs.
Then we're gonna have to hotwire a car. And this idea I don't back down from. This idea...
Hi, Inez. Let's go outside.
How are you, Jerry?
I feel great, Inez.
He's, under the weather a little bit, so I,
Why?
Well, I kinda gotta take care of him.
Outside the apartment, Inez gives Anthony a little peck on the cheek. Anthony stuffs his hands in his pockets, then he scratches his forehead and sits back down on the bed. He looks round at Dignan, who's staring back at him with a moody expression. Anthony leaves the room, and with a determined look, he heads along the balcony. He rushes into the laundry room and finds Inez standing beside a tumble dryer.
Inez, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think I've got it.
He runs up to her.
Got a lot I need to tell you. 30 seconds ago, I was lost, just in a total fog, and then it hit me like a bolt of lightning.
It's been
perfect clarity. Don't slow me down, Inez. I gotta get this all out while it's still fresh in my head. This could get a little tough to communicate. Where's the kid? Where's Rocky?
Hey, Rox.
Yeah.
Can you help me out for just a second, man?
What do you need?
I just need you to translate some stuff from
Spanish.
Yeah,
I'm busy.
Come on, Rox, please. It'll take 2 seconds. Man. Just give me 3 minutes, Rox.
3 minutes,
please. Yeah.
Come on.
Please.
I'll help you finish the dishes later.
Okay, this is what I want to say, all right? This is how I see it.
I think you look at this is from Villarreal.
Beautiful, intelligent girl. From Paraguay. By chance, happens to be working at a motel in the middle of nowhere. Lost and confused, totally lost. Incredibly unhappy person. Accidentally wanders in off the highway. And they meet, and they fall in love. And it's perfect. I mean, it is perfect.
Perfecto.
And I can only hope that she feels tenth. The way that I feel. I mean, Inez, when we had sex this afternoon, it was fun, you know?
Okay.
So, come on, Rocky.
Quiero decir, Inez, cuando hacemos sexo esta tarde, fue muy divertido, ¿no crees?
Okay, so to make a long story short,
para hacer la historia más corta,
when we leave here tomorrow, I want you to come with us.
Quiero que tú vengas con nosotros.
I don't want us to, no matter what.
¿A dónde vas?
Where are you going?
What?
Where are you going?
Where are we going?
Es que cómo te debo responder? Que me vaya con Jerry.
You want me to go live with you and Jerry?
No me puedo ir.
I can't go.
Why not?
Why?
¿Por qué no?
Yes.
Te acabo de decir por qué no.
What do you mean, why not? I just told you why not.
But that's no reason, Inez. I'm trying to explain to you why I want you to come with us.
Pues si no hay razón, Inez.
Esa no es ninguna razón. Es que mi vida no me importa nada. Es que yo no sé qué quiere.
¿A dónde quieren que te lleve?
No sé, con sus amigos, quién sabe dónde. No sé si tiene trabajo.
We'll stay here, all right? I don't understand it, but...
Mira, dije que lo que haremos, ¿está bien?
I'm just going to follow my instincts on this one.
Además, no tienes un plan. Te veo como un... Una hoja de papel volando para acá, para allá. No sé.
You're like paper, you're trash.
Like trash?
You know, you're like paper flowing by, you know? It doesn't sound that bad in Spanish.
¿Pero qué significa eso? ¿Que te vas a quedar a vivir aquí en el hotel?
Rocky glances at Anthony.
No sé. Se te hace muy fácil. Yo creo que mejor que te vayas.
What, Rocky? She doesn't want you to stay.
She doesn't?
You have to understand, she's an organized person and she can't just leave.
She just
She didn't say that, did she, Rocky?
No, but I'm just telling you, she's a serious person.
Okay, please, just take the...
Anthony takes a sharp intake of breath. The next morning, Dignan, in a short-sleeved yellow shirt, walks along one of the motel corridors. He stops and adjusts his shirt, then knocks on the door of a room that Ines is tidying.
Excuse me. Hola. Buenos dias, Ines. Mi amigo Anthony asked me to give you this envelope. There you go. We certainly enjoyed our stay here and would recommend this motel to any of our friends that might...
She hugs him. Dignan looks back at her with a slightly confused expression. She points to his injured lip.
Okay. Yeah, I feel a lot better.
He appears awkward and gives her a wave.
So long.
He walks away. Ines looks at the envelope and sighs. Dignan heads down some steps.
Mira, traduce esto para Jerry. Dile a Anthony que lo amo.
Okay.
Jerry!
Hey!
Rocky runs down the steps after him.
Do Anthony, I love him.
Do what?
Do Anthony, I love him.
Dignan turns away in confusion. He thinks for a moment, then shakes his head.
All right, man. Okay.
Later, the young blonde man is striding along a pavement beside a brick building in front of which is an abandoned old sofa. Then Dignan's loitering beside a grey-parked saloon car. He peers in through the driver's side window. He tries the handle of the locked door. He half-heartedly attempts to force a wire coat hanger into the car's windowsill, but with no joy. He moves round the back of the car and jogs away. He heads up an alley. He looks round, then strides towards a rather battered old open-topped beige two-seater car. With another furtive glance, Dignan hops into the front seat. Then he's driving along a straight road out of town with Anthony in the passenger seat. At the motel, Ines returns to her cleaner's cart. She turns off her radio and appears a little emotional. She starts to pick up a few little bottles of shampoo and thinks to herself. Then the car's stranded at the side of a deserted country road. Dignan's got the bonnet up and taps the engine with a screwdriver, then slams down the bonnet.
Ah, shit, man. What a lemon. I don't know, man. One minute's running like a top, and the next minute's broken down on the side of the road. And I can't fix a car like this because I don't have the tools to do it, man. And even if I had the tools, I can't promise you that I'd know how to fix a car like
Dignan.
That.
You see the house over here? Let's walk over to it. We'll use the phone. We need to go home, okay?
Whoa, no. Let's go to plan B. We'll hitchhike to the next town. Look,
no,
we hitchhike
look,
to the
it's over, okay? We're broke. We're gonna go home.
First of all, what is broke to you? You're so spoiled, man. Having only a few $100 is not broke. We're okay. This is a setback. We hitchhike. What is this?
Anthony hands him some cash.
All right, $16. So, where's the rest of the money?
You gave it to Inez.
No, I never gave Inez anything.
In the envelope.
Dignan looks away for a moment, thinking hard. He glares at Anthony. He takes a few steps away, frowning to himself. He looks round at his friend and taps the screwdriver in the palm of his hand. He looks back at the car. Then he runs towards it. Lying in the grass at the roadside is a rock. Dignan picks it up and hurls it at the windscreen of the broken-down car.
Pointless act! You don't give a $500 tip to the housekeeper! That's inappropriate! That's inexcusable! That I don't forgive! What were you thinking? What were you thinking? That's what she is!
Don't call her the housekeeper.
Don't threaten me. That's what she is. She is a housekeeper, right? People are housekeepers.
You better watch it, Dignan. You don't know what you're talking about right now. Her name's Inez.
And my name's Dignan, man, so what?
Anthony scowls at him.
She didn't love you, man.
Anthony heads towards the car.
Now where are you going? Where are you going?
Anthony takes two bags off the back seat of the vehicle. He strides back to Dignan, who's lying in the grass. He drops the bags next to his former friend and stands over him.
Come on, let's go.
Why'd you do it, man?
Dignan, I don't really think you know what I was going through back there.
Please don't lay that on me now, man, because I'm not interested in hearing any of that. Did it ever occur to you that your old pal Dignan might enjoy a great stay at some mental hospital out in the middle of nowhere? Going running at night, getting a tan with a bunch of beautiful girls? Did you ever think about that? What do you think Dignan was doing that whole time you were out there, man? I told you Dignan got fired, out on his ass. But you never thought about that, did you?
No. In the end, it's easier just to think about yourself than to think about Dignan.
Okay. Dignan, come on.
Anthony crouches beside him.
I thought I was supposed to be the one that was a little crazy, you know?
Dignan shuts his eyes and shakes his head.
Dignan, come on.
Dignan smashes Anthony across the nose with his screwdriver. Dignan gets up, picks up his bag, and hurries away. Anthony stands up looking shocked, holding his nose, which is covered in blood. He licks the blood off his lips and watches Dignan march away across the fields. Anthony slowly slings his bag over his shoulder and heads off in the opposite direction. Sometime later, he's in a black tracksuit, jogging along a suburban road. Bob's running alongside him in a vest and shorts.
Dear Grace, I enjoyed your letter. I agree Camp Douglas isn't all it's cracked up to be. It never was. But if you're feeling lonely, or homesick even, I recommend that one, you call me. I'm staying at Bob Mapplethorpe's. And two, that you keep extremely busy. It's working for me.
Come here, Hector.
I've got a whole new program. Bob and I get up at 5:30 every morning to run our paper route. We've got three jobs. The money isn't much, and Bob in particular isn't suited for this kind of work. But we keep each other company, and we both feel much better about ourselves now that we're working hard.
Glad you enjoyed it. Y'all come back.
Thanks, Mr. Fine.
Jack, I've been working. I made $75 in tips last night.
Bob's brother, Future Man, has accumulated some extensive legal debts, but we're gradually helping him to pay those off.
Can I at least have $3 for gas?
I'm also coaching a little league soccer team called the Hurricanes. They're mostly beginners, but they've got a lot of spirit, and they don't let defeat get them down. They remind me of Dignan in that way. Say what you will about him, he's no cynic and he's no quitter. I'm usually so exhausted now at the end of the days that I don't have time to think about blown opportunities or wasted time. I do have one bit of advice for you, though, Grace. Take the time in school to learn a foreign language. I myself never did, and I feel I've paid a price for it. Well, so long, Grace. I miss you very much. Don't forget to write me back. Anthony.
Okay, there he goes.
Hey! Anthony! It's Dignan! Wait up!
In an alley between fenced gardens, Dignan runs up to Anthony in a bright yellow jumpsuit.
Where are you going?
I'm just walking Hector. How long you been back?
Oh, a while. So how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Hector! Oh.
Dignan appears to hesitate.
I wish that some of the stuff that was said hadn't been said out there by me. And I'm sorry.
Oh. Dignan staring at the ground.
Shake hands.
Dignan looks up and does so. Anthony smiles at him reassuringly.
What's this you got on, man?
It's a jumpsuit. You like it?
Or a dozen of them.
Anthony, I'd like to introduce you to Applejack. Applejack, this is Anthony.
Anthony Adams.
Applejack drives a classic green saloon car up in front of a rundown warehouse building.
Did he say he'd be here?
Right now.
A glass of water is poured over them from above.
Now, did you guys feel that? I just felt something. Hey, now, Jesus Christ!
Hey! How's the weather? How's the weather?
Mr. Henry,
come on in!
Well, it's locked!
No. Come on, son.
Okay, I just tried it. I'll try it again.
Dignan pulls at a locked green door and is again showered from above.
Yes, it is!
more water on me.
A thick-set man like an aging boxer appears.
Dig, good to see you. I'm Henry. Applejack, good to...
And who are you?
Henry glares at Anthony. Dignan's confused.
That's Anthony.
This is no good bringing him here. What the shit, man? Are you crazy? What are you thinking? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Hey, Henry, how are you?
Anthony Adams.
Hey, Anthony, nice to see you. This is my business manager, Robo.
No.
It's a little wet, did I, sir? Yeah. Come on in, boys, Anthony.
There you go.
Applejack.
Henry and Anthony play table tennis.
For more.
He smashes a return past Henry.
Good, he listens. Just kidding?
I don't know, are you in?
Anthony's sitting on the bonnet of Applejack's car near Bob's house.
Let me tell you about this job we're gonna... I got this program, and I'm trying to stick to it now, okay?
Just hear me out.
Dignan sits next to him.
It's called Hinkley Cold Storage. Here are just a few of the key ingredients. Dynamite, pole vaulting, laughing gas, choppers. Can you see how incredible this is gonna be? Hang gliding? Come on!
Can't do it.
Dignan sitting next to Mr. Henry in a sports car.
I know, but I mean, if he doesn't have the enthusiasm, then who needs him?
Oh, that juice in a mouthful. If you want, I can speak to him.
Would you, Mr. Henry? That'd be great. Sugar cone?
You bet.
You want anything, Anthony?
No, thanks.
Listen. You know, you're breaking his heart. You know that, don't you?
Huh? What do you mean?
Kid, he worked on one of my garden crews. I mean, nice fella. Didn't perform, so I had to fire him. And 6 months later, I get a call from the gas station. About 200 miles outside of Victoria. I said, what the hell are you doing out there? But there's something in his voice. You know what I'm saying? I felt for him. I mean, poor guy. Here he is. He thought he had a team. Turns out to be a man alone. And that's tough now. Real tough.
Here you go, Mr. Henry.
Hey.
The driveway in front of Bob's house. Anthony, in a white T-shirt and dark trousers, picks a folded-up newspaper off the tarmac. In his yellow jumpsuit, Dignan speeds up to him on a miniature motorbike.
Dignan?
That ain't time to think.
Yeah, I've done a lot of thinking.
Dignan rides around the driveway, skidding as he turns the bike. Bob's peering out at him from a small window in the house. Dignan attempts a wheelie and stops beside Anthony.
We're still holding your position open for you.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't do that, you know?
Come on, go for a ride.
Come on, Dignan, it's too small for the both of us.
No, it isn't. Jump on, man. I'll give you a pump.
Where'd you get this?
Got it from a...
He looks round. Bob's brother, Future Man, and a friend pull up next to Dignan in a yellow Jeep.
You wearing?
Yeah.
It's a jumpsuit.
Clay, look at this guy.
He looks like a rodeo clown.
He looks like a little banana. Where are you from anyway, man?
I'm from around here.
This guy used to mow our lawn.
No shit.
Yeah, he was great. Clipping the hedges, sweeping up, mowing the lawn. What was the name of your little lawn mowing company?
The Lawn Wranglers.
Let's go. Keep up the mowing, Kimasabi.
Dignan fidgets with his sleeves.
It's landscaping, not just mowing.
Oh, man, don't listen to that guy.
I don't know. Sometimes I mean, I'm not always as confident as I look.
Did you see what he had on?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Dignan stands, then sits back down on the bike.
All right, well, wait a second.
Anthony leans towards the bike and appears to switch off the engine. He glances round and shakes his head.
God damn it. I'm in.
What?
I'm in.
I knew you'd be back.
Three conditions. One, you mastermind the plan. Two, Bob's on the team.
Let's hear the third one.
Anthony thinks to himself and a smile grows across his face.
Gotta get me one of these jumpsuits.
You like these?
Yeah.
Done.
Deal.
All right. You're doing the right thing, Anthony.
Yeah, I know I am.
All right, I'll see you later on.
Dignan has a few goes at kickstarting the little bike.
Need any help?
No, I think I got it.
A martial arts bout in the middle of a car repair workshop. Henry's in karate whites and a Japanese guy's wearing pants.
Got the eye. Okay. That's not. Well, move back a little bit. Move back. Oh, hey, guys. Hey, welcome back.
Get back, Mr. Henry.
Where's Bob? The rich kid.
Hey,
Bobby.
What do you say, man?
How's it going?
Dignan. What do you say, Bob? Buddy? Come on in.
Oh, nothing much.
What are you guys drinking?
Water for me, please.
Of a Tom Collins, please.
Tom Collins, okay. Well, hey, man, I want you guys to know. It was really too bad about what happened out there on the road. I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, it was. It was unfortunate.
Let's not even talk about it.
Stupid.
It was real stupid. It was extremely stupid.
Dignan, man, I want you to know. I don't expect an apology. I don't even want one, you know?
Can you believe this guy? I don't expect an apology.
Right, let's not get into this like this, you know?
No, of course you don't want to get into it.
You would have let my brother rot in fucking 48 hours. I never agreed to that. I never agreed to that.
That's a lie.
Right. Shit! Backyard! Right now! Let's go!
Sweet.
Come on, Bob!
Just backyard?
This is my house, asshole! Get out of here!
That's fine. Are you feeling angry? I think the thing to do is we're all three here.
Now, wait a second now, Anthony. Bob is a big boy. Now, we are in the real world. We don't settle our problems with hugs, man. We settle them with bare knuckles.
Bob punches Dignan in the face, flooring him and Anthony.
All right, Bob, stay there. My own house? Bob, Stop it!
God, there's a rough hook, man.
Oh, okay, no more fighting. No more Bob, come here, Bob.
I'm gonna hug him.
Dignan does hug Bob.
What are we doing out here? What happened? Man.
I just wanted to... I was looking forward to seeing you guys, man.
Bob would like to have you on the team, if you'll have us.
Roberto, let me get something straight here.
Roberto Sforza?
You don't play any tennis.
No.
And you don't play any golf.
No.
So why do you belong to a country club?
You got me.
You're a piece of work. The food is
well,
dead.
Yeah, you just signed.
My work is a finger work. Usually my work is a little sound and good touch.
How you doing, Bob?
Hey, Jackson.
When will your folks be back in town?
Oh, it's hard to say, Jackson. Last I heard, they were in Singapore.
Your brother was up here the other day. He said you ran away from home.
I said what?
You ran away from home?
You're on the team.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. I see you, Bob.
Hi, guys. Bob, fancy seeing you here. The rest of the gang. Hi, John Mapplethorpe.
Kumar, hi.
Kumar, nice to meet you. John Mapplethorpe.
Applejack.
Applejack, nice to meet you. John Mapplethorpe.
John, great pleasure to meet you.
And your name is...
Jackson said you told him I ran away from home, Jack.
Yeah, I might have mentioned it.
Jack, I'm 26 years old. I didn't run away from home.
Oh, that's right. You're on that top secret mission. I'm sorry. I forgot I wasn't supposed to say anything.
I'd just appreciate it if you didn't run around telling everybody lies about me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I know you have a reputation to uphold. Won't happen again.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
In the country club, Mr. Henry squares up to Bob's brother.
You know, Jonathan, the world needs dreamers.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think so. You know, John, one day I believe that you're going to wake up and realize you no longer have a brother and you no longer have any friends. And on that day, I'm going to be standing front and center just laughing my fucking head off. Hey, John. Hey, John!
He twists John's hand.
Oh, man! I'm just messing around with my brother.
Are we okay here?
Okay.
Henry releases Jonathan from his grip and sits slowly back down at the table.
I hope this doesn't offend you, Bob, but your brother's a cocksucker.
No.
Offend you? Huh?
No, that didn't offend me.
Okay, good.
And Anthony, Applejack, and the others sitting round the table start to laugh. Jonathan feigns an ironic laugh too, and he and his friend slouch off. Back at Bob's house, Henry's playing the piano.
Well, welcome, Bob. Got a beautiful house.
Next day...
Hispanic male, non-smoker, enters white van at Southwest Door. Mark that down.
I did.
There you go.
Drive away, just like you always do.
Anthony and Dignan are sitting in a ditch staking out a large factory building.
We got it, ma'am. We know it backwards and we know it forwards because we've done the legwork and we've done the research. And now it pays off tomorrow.
Just gotta follow through.
What are you working on?
Anthony's been drawing a Stickman Flickr book.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's one of your little drawings. It goes pole vaults over the thing. Here it goes, and there he is.
I love it, Doc. I love it. You're creative.
Tell me something. What do you think of Inez?
As a person?
Yeah, as a girl.
I liked her. I thought she was a good person. She was friendly. She was attractive. I didn't get to know her as well as you did. That's the only reason why I even bothered to hesitate. That kid Rocky struck me as kind of a weirdo.
Rocky?
Oh, I mean, he said he loved you.
What?
Yeah, he said he loved you. Was he? I mean, that was just seemed strange.
Was he translating? Was he translating for me when he said he loved you?
He said he loved you. No, he wouldn't translate. That's how I understood him. He was talking in English, and I was like, what? Okay, I'll...
Whoa, Anthony, where are you? He's just a mixed up kid. Anthony, come on. You're blowing our cover. Maybe I didn't understand him.
Yeah, hi, I'm calling for a motel. I don't know the area code. I just know the name of the motel.
Listen, can I borrow him a minute?
All right, sure.
I was thinking, you know, it might give you a feeling of security if I went in there with you tomorrow, huh? You know, just for backup. Keep chicky.
No, that's right.
I mean, it couldn't hurt, could it?
No, it couldn't hurt. But... Well, you gotta weigh the pros and the cons. Now, you're the one who hit me with that, Mr. Henry.
Shoot, well, what are the cons?
Cons? If you go in there tomorrow, then it's just another score by Abe Henry.
That's true.
Yeah, hi, can I speak to Inez, please? No, she's one of the housekeepers. She works here. She's worked there for a while. Please don't do this to me, ma'am.
Look, let me see what I can do.
Well, it's your decision.
It's okay with you. It'd mean a lot to me if you let me try this one alone.
Damn. I'm gonna tell you something, kid. You got the guts of a damn lion.
Housekeeping.
Carmen, how's it going? Yeah, I'm looking for Inez. Have you seen her today? Is she in?
Nope. She's not here.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Different phones ring around the motel. In the laundry room, a dark-haired Mexican-looking woman in a beige cardigan is washing her hands. She dries her hands on a towel and picks up the phone.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, I'm looking for Inez. She's one of the housekeepers there. She is?
Yeah, she is. Hold on.
The woman takes the phone through to a side room where Inez is folding towels at a table.
For you. Telephone.
Thank you.
Hello?
Inez?
Anthony?
Yes! She recognized my voice. Now I'm at a party. Yeah. God, you sound terrific. How are you? That's great. No, I'm great. I'm great, especially now that I got you. I've been looking all over for you. I talked to every single person at the hotel today.
When am I going to see you again?
God, your English is really improving. You know that? It sounds... You're fluent now, Inez.
Thank you.
So, the word on the street, or should I say the rumor has it that, well, I heard you love me.
Inez shuts her eyes with emotion.
Yes, I do.
Yeah! God, Inez.
Anthony does a little backwards dance through the crowd of partygoers. Dignan gets up from an orange sofa and stands by Bob. Anthony puts his hands on his friend's shoulders. Next day, in a yellow jumpsuit, Anthony is standing on the roof of a building looking out over the car park of the large storage building.
Bird dog, a scarecrow. Bird dog, a scarecrow. Come in.
Go ahead, bird dog.
I got a visual read on you. You're all clear.
Outstanding, bird dog. Outstanding. Stand by.
Let's go. Let's go. Kumar, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's get lucky.
Applejack, Dignan, and an old Indian guy get out of a van.
Move! Everybody move! Come on, let's go! Keep up the intensity, Kumar! Kumar!
Come on!
Scarecrow?
Jackknife coming, Jackknife.
Is everything all right up there, man?
Affirmative, Jack and I are approaching the elevator right now on my left. Stand by. Bird Dog, come in, Bird Dog. Copy. Move to your second position. Fast!
Copy that, move.
Each of the crew are wearing the yellow jumpsuits.
You gotta take the elevator. I'm gonna make sure of the stairway. I'm gonna secure the stairway. Good work. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Come head up the stairways. Everything looks good on it. Oh, geez, okay, just a minute. Okay, testing, testing. Two more.
I'm okay.
Stop! Get it down! Go!
Dignan raises the lift's sliding door.
Go! Where are you going? Come here! Rendezvous at the checkpoint in 6 minutes, okay?
Checkpoint! Who's that man?
Who's that man? That's Applejack! Come on!
Anthony climbs a steel ladder onto a flat roof. Inside the building, Dignan and Kumar head along a corridor.
Right down the corridor here. Are you nervous?
Yes, I am nervous.
Dignan crowbars a padlock off the door to an office, which they enter.
There it is. Oh, boy, that's perfect. Yeah.
Dignan clears the desk and puts his brown briefcase onto it. Kumar kneels by the safe.
No problem.
Hey, Jackknife, come in.
Yeah.
You know something?
What?
Anthony is standing under a billboard, looking unsure.
I really don't want to do this robbery,
you know?
Man, neither do I.
You want me to come up there with you?
Guys, keep this line clear at all times. Come on. Any activity, Bird Dog?
Negatory. We're all clear.
Good. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, I've got a pretty spectacular view from up here. I can see the whole city now from the east side all the way to the west side.
Anthony, the elevator's moving. Who's on the elevator?
I don't know. Well, check it. It's moving right now.
Up on the roof, Anthony opens a little door, enters the building, goes through some double doors and down some stairs. He looks through the slatted gate of the elevator shaft. Bob's coming up.
Bob, what are you doing?
Some walkie-talkie, Buster. I don't know what's going on.
Give it to me. Did you drop it? Come on, Bob.
Drop it?
You're supposed to be down on the loading dock.
You go down there, man. I'm by myself down there.
Bob stumbles.
Bob, what's happening? What's going on?
It was Bob. He dropped his walkie-talkie.
Get back in position, asshole! Applejack, talk to me. What's going on? Applejack, talk to me.
Somebody's coming out of there.
Go back.
Look! Christ. Hold it right there, guys. Stay right there.
Freeze!
Come this way.
Come here. Up against this wall. Come here. Up against this wall. Move. Don't move.
Right here. Just look at the ceiling.
Up against the wall. What are you doing here?
We work here.
You're always at lunch now.
Not always.
Yes, always. Okay, let me think. Time! Ah!
Hold on! Jesus,
what the hell are you doing here?
My walkie-talkie broke, man.
Shh. 2 minutes.
Okay. Put on your mask.
They've already seen our faces, Dignan.
Don't worry about it. Put on your mask. Come on. We got problems, man. What are you doing? Sitting down. Come on, man.
I could not do it, man. No, I could not do it anymore.
Come on, man.
Bob, will you please put the mask on or turn away?
Can't get it on.
Dignan, come on. What's going on? Where's Kumar?
Look at this.
Forget it, then. Just forget it, man. You can't do it because you never knew how in the first place.
You are totally lost right here.
Bob's gun's pointed at the floor.
Bob, what the hell?
What is your problem?
Applejack!
You okay?
Did you shoot him?
He must be having a heart attack or something.
Go on.
Drop your phone, Applejack.
Let's go! Come on!
A smoke bomb's let off. The four factory employees appear confused. The door opens on a cold storage room. Kumar's shivering inside. In the lift.
Man, I blew it, man.
Kumar, what are you doing in the freezer?
I don't know, man. I lost my touch, man.
Did you ever have a touch to lose, man? What are you doing in there?
Anthony, Dignan and Kumar hurry outside, down some steps and towards the camper van.
Come on, Kumar!
The young men reach the van, but the doors are locked.
front door!
Bob runs up.
The elevator broke!
What?
The elevator broke!
Where's Applejack?
He's stuck on the second floor, man, between two
floors. Did he give you the keys? Did he give you the keys?
Applejack drove.
What happened? What happened? What happened?
Run! Go! Go! Go!
What the hell happened to the plan, man?
I don't know. Come on.
Okay, I'll meet you at Bob's. Go.
What?
I gotta get out of here.
No, you're not. No.
Yeah, I am, baby.
No!
Dignan purses his lips.
I gotta fly solo on this, baby.
Okay, Dignan.
I don't have time to argue with you right now.
I don't have time either, okay, Dignan? Now, you get back to Bob's. Just go.
Dignan waves his gun frustratedly.
Who is in charge here? You dumb son of a bitch, now please leave.
Give me this one. Give me this one. You gotta give me this one.
Dignan, you know what's gonna happen if you go back there.
No, I don't. You'll never catch me, man. Because I'm fucking innocent.
He barges past Anthony and runs back up the steps into the building. Anthony runs in the opposite direction across the car park. Bob's house is completely empty of furniture. At the end of the drive, Mr. Henry, in a grey suit and smoking a cigar, is supervising the loading of the furniture onto a removal lorry. His martial arts opponent, also now in a grey suit, is checking things off on a clipboard. Henry steps away from the van and looks both ways down the road. He smiles to himself and sticks his cigar into his mouth. Outside the warehouse, Dignan supports Applejack, helping him up to the camper van. The passenger door is unlocked, and Applejack is bundled onto the seat. Dignan moves to the driver's door, but that's still locked, and Applejack's unconscious. Dignan looks round in a panic. He moves to the passenger side window and bangs on it as two cop cars speed into the car park. But Dignan sprints back towards the warehouse building. He runs inside and rushes along a corridor. Another patrol car cuts off his escape route and he doubles back, heading down another corridor. With two policemen in pursuit, he runs down a passageway. He bolts down a narrow staircase. The police rush down it too. Dignan opens a large metal door upon which is written "No Exit." He heads into the cold storage room. He opens another door, but it's only a cupboard. He runs past huge fishes hanging on hooks. He tries to open another metal door, but the police burst into the room. Dignan lets his gun fall to the floor. One of the policemen restrains Dignan. The other punches him in the stomach. The men collapse into some cardboard boxes. Then another policeman is repeatedly thumping Dignan. The young man is pushed down onto his front on a pile of ice, and his hands are cuffed behind his back. Then he's being led back along the corridors by a pair of the cops. Behind them, the third policeman is holding up Dignan's handgun. The group make their way slowly out of the building. Next to the police cars and the camper van are an ambulance and a fire engine, with emergency service personnel who are gathered at a stretcher helping Applejack. The back door of a police car is opened, and Dignan's head is held down while he's hustled into the back of the vehicle. A tall policeman leads Anthony and Bob along a narrow hallway. Anthony has a green quilted jacket, Bob a beige overcoat. The two young men head through a sliding door. On the other side of another sliding door is Dignan in a white jumpsuit-style prison uniform. He's standing facing them with other inmates. Dignan smiles and steps towards them. They nod. He strolls around the prison grounds with his two friends.
1 month down, 23 to go. Anyway, I said to the DA that cop who hit me must have given me CRS disease.
What's that?
That's just what the DA asked. CRS is a disease where you can't remember shit.
Like amnesia.
Right. CRS. Can't remember shit. CRS. Tell Mr. Henry I said that.
Okay.
So is Mr. Henry gonna come by and see me, or what?
I don't think so. He actually robbed Bob's house.
You're kidding me.
No, I
can't believe that. I almost robbed that place myself.
Bob looks shocked.
You think Applejack knew?
We haven't heard from Applejack since he got out of the hospital. His case got dismissed.
What? Why?
We're not sure.
We think Mr. Henry probably had something to do with it.
Well, they take the health problems into account, so...
They sit on a bank of seating. Dignan tucks into a hamburger and fries that his friends have brought.
So what all did he get?
Pretty much everything.
I bet he got that grand piano.
He got everything.
I bet that grand piano's worth $10,000.
He thinks for a moment and pats Bob on the back.
I'm sorry, Bob. Yeah, but, you know, in a strange way, it's brought me and Future Man closer together. I mean, we went out to look for a new piano the other day, and he looks at me and he says, Bob, just because you're a fuck-up doesn't mean you're not my brother.
Dignan and Anthony ponder this and nod wisely.
It kind of touched me. You know, he didn't normally open up like that.
Anthony nudges Dignan.
Kind of talked to Inez last night.
Really?
Gonna be bringing your care package when she comes up here.
No shit.
Yeah.
She lied to me.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on to that one.
Okay. You want anything special?
No.
Dignan licks his fingers.
Well, got something for you guys.
Oh, yeah?
Belt buckles that I made.
Hey.
There's one for you, one for you. I made a couple more that I was gonna give to, Applejack, Kumar, Mr. Henry, but I don't know, maybe give it to Inez, or I don't care, give it to those guys. I don't have any hard feelings. This little piece.
Oh, that's really tough.
Dignan lets out a sigh and glances at the perimeter fence.
We did it, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did it all right.
Dignan's in a queue of prisoners. He nods at his friends who are on the other side of a chicken wire fence.
Well, thank you for coming.
Dignan holds up his hands and shows off his cuffs.
It's good seeing you.
The queue starts moving. Dignan looks at Anthony earnestly.
Did you bring that grappling hook?
Grappling hook?
Don't worry about it. I think I might have found a way out of here.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
How?
Shh. Wait for my instructions. When we go through the next gate, you'll have 30 seconds to take out the tower guard. 30
what?
Seconds. Have the car running at the northwest checkpoint.
Dang,
Bob and I are going to scale the barricade, and then we're going to turn through to no man's land. And Bob, remember, shield me from the bullets. They won't shoot civilians. Are you ready?
Hold on, man.
Wait a second, Dignan.
Let's go. Now.
Anthony and Bob look a little perplexed. Dignan grins at them broadly.
Isn't it funny how I used to be in the nut house and now I'm in jail?
Dignan appears pensive. He looks round at the two young men. Bob and Anthony continue to watch him from behind the fence. In slow motion, Dignan trudges along in the line back towards the prison building. He looks round again, then holds up his cuffed hands in a gesture of farewell. The queue of prison inmates continues inside. The end.